Well, first of all, it is a real joy to be with you tonight. Sometimes these words can just drop off the lips and be very empty, but we genuinely are delighted to be here. We have a lovely affiliation with the church here in Ballymena, and we want to thank you personally for your prayers, for your giving individually, and for the love gifts that we've received from your session. It has all been a great encouragement to your hearts. And it's a delight to be with you in person and to share with you a little bit about what the Lord has been doing. And we want to really bring it into a very sharp focus tonight. We're really only going to comment on really what has happened over the last year. The Lord has been very good to us. He's allowed us to be involved in this work for over a decade now. And we've seen many changes, but in this last year, we've seen the greatest change of all. By way of deputation meeting tonight, I want just to share with you a few words, a few thoughts from Mark's Gospel. And then immediately we do that, we're going to go straight into the content of the report that we want to bring. And then at the very end, there's a little 5-minute DVD or PowerPoint that we want to show. And we trust that that'll just bring it all together. And what you see in picture will really leave an impact upon you as you leave the service, that you remember our boys and girls, you remember the work, and you'll remember the need. You know, whenever I was in Bible college, I often thought that a picture was worth 1,000 words. But the lecturers never let me get away with it. And so this little PowerPoint that we're going to bring at the end, we trust that even what is said by me in weakness tonight, it would be greatly impact upon your heart by what you see at the very end. So we trust that you'll stay to the end and that you'll bear with us even until we get to that point. Your minister has been very kind to us by way of words of invitation, and he gave a whole definition about somebody, but I don't really think it really applies to me. And we do struggle very greatly whenever we speak to a meeting like this, where there are adults. I would far better a room full of boys and girls, and that's just what I enjoy to see, but I'm just going to have to imagine you all when you were very young, and that wouldn't be very hard to do anyway. But I want to look just at a few verses out of Mark's Gospel, and I want you to turn, if you can, tonight to Mark's Gospel chapter 9, and this is a passage that our own minister in Cumber preached on several months ago, and it really struck a chord with my heart. And I said to myself, I made a promise, and I said, I'll come back to that at some stage. That's a tremendous passage to introduce people to the work of boys and girls. So we want to look at Mark's Gospel. We want to read from chapter 9, and we want to break into the reading at verse 17 of Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed a foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Off a child. And oftentimes it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit and saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. We'll just end the reading at verse 29. We trust that the Lord will even already have warmed our hearts to have a desire to know what this passage is all about, and to be refreshed in the things of God through even the public reading of his precious word. Perhaps we could just turn to the Lord for a word of prayer. I really covet your prayers tonight, that the nerves would settle, that we'd have the liberty that we'd need, and that we'll know much of the presence and the power of God. That's what we really endeavor to have tonight. And let's just pray together to that end. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we come unto thee just now in our Savior's precious name. We do thank thee for the record that has been laid out before us, this story of the life of a father and a son and a Savior who stepped into the midst and did a work in the lives of these people. And, O Lord, we would just ask tonight that as we, Lord, would contemplate thy word, as we would give a report on the work of boys and girls, that thou, O Lord, would just give us the words from on high. Give us power. Oh, that we would know the infilling of the Spirit of God. O Lord, that both the hearer and the speaker alike would go away changed by thee. Go away different and not just be as at other times. O Lord, come, we pray. Encourage our hearts. May we sit at the Master's feet. May we know thy presence. May you bless us one and all, for we ask it in our Savior's wonderful and precious name. Amen. Now, we have here a story, and we want to use a little bit of alliteration. And in this story, you have a demon-possessed child. We have a distraught parent, and we have a divine Savior. This story has a threefold lesson that I want to leave with you tonight. And it's all about targeting, tears, and transformation. Firstly, we have in this passage before us the targeting of a child. Targeting that was so forcible that this little one was demon-possessed. You see, whenever the devil is active, much of what he does is specifically aimed at the boys and girls. We need to be aware tonight afresh that our children are the targets that Satan is shooting at. And sad to say, he's hitting again and again and again. He is targeting our children. And the question is this, when does he start to target our children? Well, look at what we have before us to learn from in the Scripture. For in this story, the Lord asked of the father of this child in verse 21, how long is it ago since this came unto him? When did it first happen? And he said, of a child. How tragic. Of a child. The targeting of this young man in this story started in his early childhood years. There was no let up even in those very junior periods in this child's life. Now, the Lord asked this question, not that he did not know the answer, but the Lord asked this question because you and I need to know the answer. You and I need to know that the devil targets our children from their earliest days. Of a child, what a terrible thought. You know, there was never a day when this wee lad ever had the freedom to do the things that children love to do. There was always that threat that at any moment harm from Satan's darts would befall him and hurt him. That's the when. But how does he target the children? Well, the answer is very simple. He targets them continually. There is no let up. There was no let up for this young child. Verse 18 says, wheresoever he taketh him, in other words, no matter where he was, or what he was doing, or who he was with, bang, Satan at any moment attacked relentlessly, continually, this little lad when it pleased him to do so. And of course, today, the devil still does the same thing. Oh, he may come in a more subtle manner, but he certainly will target our children constantly. And we can see it very much so in the electronics and the phones and the internet and the computer and the TV programs and the radio shows that our children are being bombarded with, and they drink it in. And we're very little of a buffer to your children in these matters. That's the how. But why does Satan target our children? These are very simple thoughts that I'm laying before you tonight, and I trust that the simplicity of them won't lose the reality of them to your hearts. Why does he target our children? Look at the story again. Look at the illustration given to us in this passage. Verse 22, it says, it was for this particular lad and all other children to destroy him by casting him into the fire or into the waters. I believe this young lad's body bore the marks and the scars of the attacks of the devil upon him. I believe even above the outward marks, I have reason to believe tonight that this young lad was being destroyed from within as well. Look at verse 18. He pineth away. Literally means that he was being worn down because of distressing thoughts being placed into his minds and anxiety of mind. And he was getting no rest. And such is the experience of many young people today, as Satan goes about like a roaring lion, just seeking whom he may devour. Think of all the self-harm we see, all the suicides, all the distress, all the problems. It's rife today. Attack after attack after attack. You see, there's targeting, and it's our children being targeted. But not only was there the targeting in this story, but secondly, there were tears. Tears from a distraught parent. Verse 24 says that the father of the child cried out with tears. Big grown man in tears. He could do nothing else but be flooded with tears. He'd come to an end of himself. Couldn't hold back any longer. He was distraught, as any normal, loving parent would have been to see such a thing happen to their children. You know, most parents have shed tears because of what's going on in their children's life. However, godly parents ought to shed even more tears because they know the final outcome of a son or a daughter held fast by the grip of the old devil. They know that there is a lost eternity and ought to be more tears. There ought to be more tears. But not only is there the targeting and the tears we find here, but moving on very quickly, we have here a transformation. The transformating power of a divine Savior. Look at verse 25. We're told there that the Savior rebuked the foul spirit, charging him to both come out of him, stay out of him. That was a final solution. And then with one last raging attack, the evil spirit tore through that young man's body, leaving him for dead. Some thought he was dead. But in verse 27, it says that the Lord Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose, transformed. The tears were gone. and the targeting was stayed. The Lord was in control. There is a little concluding thought that I want to leave with you before we go into the bones of our report, and it is this. In verse 29, the Lord Jesus said something remarkable about this whole situation. You see, we're warned there that some results spiritually take much more effort than others. And to rescue this young lad, this wee boy, from the grip of Satan needed both prayer and fasting. And how much have we spent, even in this new year, in prayer for our children, our grandchildren, our neighbor's children, those who we know with children? How much prayer have we given over to that need? Then it speaks about fasting. Now, fasting very often does involve setting aside food. But fasting can also involve setting aside time, your leisure, your finances. What are we willing to give up to see our children saved from the targeting of the devil, from many tears, that they will be transformed, saved, made fit and ready for heaven? Oh, that we would give all that we can to this effort to see little ones won and saved for the Lord Jesus. We want just to leave it there for tonight. We trust that you'll come back to that passage yourself on some occasion and read through it again. But we want to go just now straight into the bones of our report. And as I said at the beginning, we want just to focus ourselves in this last 12 months. Although we've had the privilege of engaging in children's work over this last decade or so, much of it is done within the church environment, and much of it is also done away from the church environment. And there really is those two aspects to the work. Within the church, we have our Sunday schools, our children's meetings, our children's day services, our youth fellowships, our little camps, our weekends away, our holiday Bible clubs, our missions, our prize-giving nights, our parents' nights, and the list goes on and on. There's plenty of work in the churches to be done for boys and girls. And I would covet your prayer for this work, for both this church and for all of our churches, and for those who are involved in children's work. We need your prayer. It's a work that can run away very quickly with your energies and weary you and run you down. Whenever I started this work, I had a great head of hair, and look at the state of me now. In another 10 years, I don't know what shape I'll be in, but we do covet your prayers, because there is a difficulty, a hardness in this work, and many problems that have to be faced. But of course, there is the work that is done away from the church environment. And in many ways, this particular work is slightly more difficult, because you don't have that little group of workers around you, those fellow laborers in Christ. And the work away from the church would involve the works done in little community centers, little halls here and there, school assemblies, scripture union classes, and RE classes. All that work, especially the work in the schools, over this last 10 years or so, have been bringing us into contact with many, many thousands of boys and girls who we would never normally see in our churches. But all that suddenly stopped on the 23rd of March last year. The week beginning the 23rd of March last year, we were introduced to a word that we would have never really used beforehand: lockdown. And on the 25th, lockdown came. On the 27th, we were told, that was a Friday, the schools would be stopped, finished. The doors would be closed. Now, I had a little bit of insight there, because I could see this coming. Because before even legislation was being passed, some schools were taking it on board themselves to make decisions for their future in the weeks and months ahead. And from very early weeks in March, I was already getting calls from schools left, right, and center to cancel an assembly, cancel a scripture union, cancel an after-school activity. And then the church bookings, they began to have to be canceled as well. And this all was happening at a very busy time of the year for children's meetings, because a lot of them are coming to the end. There was a high point being raised, because we were getting to the parents' night and the prize givings, and all of that just was suddenly taken away from us. Our deputation meeting stopped. Our Children's Day services, they didn't happen. Our missions that we had planned, they didn't go ahead. Our holiday Bible clubs, every last one of them, cancelled. And I had a little quick look through my diary. And over that period, from March to June, I had over 90 bookings confirmed, cancelled. Now, that wasn't just 90 children. That was 90 bookings. And on some of those occasions, I'd be going into a school with maybe 300, 400, 500 children. And multiplying that up, it was just literally thousands of boys and girls. Suddenly, the door was closed to them. Now, for me to stand here tonight and try and throw some light onto that situation, I feel I would make things darker, because I don't know the answers. But the Lord knew all about it. And in those early days, we did very locally try to put some plans together to try and regain some ground. We had our own little children in our own areas. We were putting together little booklets and popping them in through the doors every week, along with a little packet of sweeties, just to keep that contact. No meetings, nothing else. And then we were invited to do a little 10-minute slot every Sunday morning into an empty church. That was so difficult. I'm sure the men here know what I'm speaking about. It's a very difficult thing just to speak into an empty room. And as a child evangelist, for me, it felt even more difficult, because I am always looking for feedback from boys and girls, reaction from boys and girls. Now, sometimes it's not always the reaction you want. It's maybe a huge big yawn in the middle of the meeting, and that's time for you to move on or to get to a high point in the story. But when there's no reaction, it makes it more difficult. And so this was hard for us, these little 10-minute slots that we had. But you know, there was great wisdom, and I thank God for that. Because prior to that lockdown, a Zoom meeting was held one night in March. That meeting was conducted by Alistair Hamilton, who you know here very well. At that meeting, in attendance was Christina Logan, Joyce Walsh, myself, and then Catherine Keane, and later on, Glenn Hamilton. And the whole idea was to discuss some means, some ways of producing an online ministry so that the work would be able to continue on. And the Lord was very good to us. Because by the Friday, the 27th of March, just a few days on from that, Christina, she had the maiden voyage out into the internet to do the first of our little Bible corners for FPC kids. Being a gentleman, I thought ladies first, and that's the way it was. But I wasn't long, and I was there on the Sunday morning. What a joy it was to see large numbers of boys and girls, and perhaps even adults too, tuning in and watching those little broadcasts. Now, because of the stringent, heavy lockdown that we had in those early days in March, poor Christina had to do hers out of her bedroom, and I had to do mine out of a little room at the back of the house. And every time was set up, everything was piled into one corner of the room so that I could swing my arms about and get a wee bit of space and the projector up. But it was difficult. But as time progressed, we then began to get upmarket a little bit, and we were given the facility of a hall, and we put up our studio. We got a green screen, fancy lighting, and we had a technical background team, second to none, both in Catherine and in Glenn, for whom we are so thankful for to have on board and to steer us right. The little Bible corners, we were broadcasting them on a Friday night originally, and also on a Sunday, running them twice a week. And during the heavy, heavy period of lockdown, we also did a little 5-minute slot on a Wednesday called The Wee Word. And I don't know for why. Well, I say I don't know for why, but I really do, I suppose, can figure it out, that those little wee word broadcasts, which are only 5 minutes long, most of those we decided to end up doing outdoors. And that brought a whole new raft of interesting things happening to us. For example, whenever I was doing some of mine, I decided to do mine out in the garden. And I think the reason why these little broadcasts were outside was, if you can remember back to March, April time last year, the weather was really tremendous. And so we decided to do our little bit of film footage outside. And I did a few out in my garden. And I remember the very first one. This was 5 minutes of filming, which ended up taking half a day to do because of things that were happening around me that were out of my control. And my daughter, she very kindly with her, I used to complain about the iPhone that you had. What a waste of money, spending money on that thing. Look at the price of that. But whenever she was filming and the quality of her photography, well, I had to change my tune. I need a little bit of humble pie because it was top quality. But there was nothing that she or I could do about the problems that we had. We decided to do one little broadcast out in the back garden. And I had only started, and all of a sudden I heard this thud, 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 thud. Obviously what had happened was this. One of our neighbours had been put in furlough. And he had a fence that had been down, lying all over the garden for months and months and months. And this was going to be the day he was going to fix his fence. So I raced around as quick as I could to find out whether he was going for a tea break soon. Discovered that he was way back round to do the filming. And we just opened our mouths, and one of the neighbours, he's a couple of Jack Russells, and I don't think they're Free Presbyterians, and they took into a bit of barking. And so I went round to him to see whether he was taking the dogs out for a walk, and he was. And I thought, right, get round quick, we'll get this filming done yet. And the next thing, an ice cream van. And I said to myself, what kind of lockdown is this? But we had to let that one slide, because that particular man was actually delivering groceries for people. He wasn't selling ice cream. Maybe he was, but he was certainly doing the grocery deliveries, and we had to let that slide. So these are the sorts of things that we had to face, we had to overcome. But the Lord has been good. We've been able to do roughly well into 45, maybe near 50 Bible corners. We've been able to do about 15 of these little wee words. We have been able to do 2 full weeks of holiday Bible club, and then just over Christmas we did a winter holiday Bible club as well. And we're really grateful for those who have been faithful in tuning in, and it's been a delight just to see where people are tuning in from. And we've been very humbled, because we're not doing this as an entertainment, far from it. Only for the super quality of the editing, I sometimes feel that, I don't know why anybody would watch any of it, but the editing is just makes it really just first class. But we do it to present the gospel. We do it to see boys and girls won for the Savior. And the Lord has given his seal of approval upon these efforts. Because very early on, we heard word of a little girl from Bangor trusting in the Savior. We heard word of another little one from down Kilkeel and a long way, trusting in the Savior. And there have been others. We have had lovely messages from parents, not even just saved parents, but unsaved parents who have sat in with their children, felt comfortable to do so, not pressurized to be in a strange environment in their own home, tuning in, and they have been texting me and sending me messages saying, you know, this just brings me back to my childhood. I'm not a Christian now, but it brings me back to my childhood. And I can remember singing the same choruses, remember these stories, and my little one watches all the time. And it's wonderful. Yes, we've had difficulties. Yes, we've had technical problems. I've had to learn all about Facebook and Google Drive and Dropbox and WeTransfer, things that I never knew anything about, didn't want to know, had to nearly be self-taught because you'd be told you're going to be doing this, and then I would go onto YouTube to do a little tutorial, and then I would be trying to figure it all out. but the Lord undertook, and it has been well worthwhile. We covet your prayers. Bible Corner is continuing on into 2021. The Lord has opened a door wider than I could have ever imagined. We have people tuning in from just all over. We have messages coming to us that are so encouraging. We're seeing boys and girls saved. And we covet your prayers that we'll have fresh messages and that we'll be wise in where we're seeking to place these messages and trying to target these children. Oh, the old devil will target them, but oh, that we can target them, draw them into the things of God. The Lord has even given us a bit of insight and wisdom to go back to the schools. And we have put together a playlist of about 15 or 20 little 15-minute school assemblies. And we have been able to go to all the schools that we normally would be in and out of regularly. Because of the lockdown, we can't go in. So both Christina and Joyce and myself would have a list of schools that we normally go into. We've put together this playlist. We've contacted those schools. And the Lord has really undertaken there as well. So much so that several of the schools have come back to me and asked for specific topics to be spoken on for their assemblies. And what a privilege that has been to be able to produce and put those out. We were so encouraged by those early vibrations of and those early communications back to us from the schools that were so positive that we decided to contact all 800 primary schools in Northern Ireland. We got good feedback from that as well. We decided then to go a bit further and we contacted each of our brethren on the mainland and we asked them, would they go on board, come on board and contact the schools in their areas? So that's Scotland, Wales, and in England and London, and they've all been very willing to do that. We took that as a token for good as well, and we decided to contact every primary school on the Isle of Man. And so it just widens and widens and widens. And the sky's the limit. Pray for these efforts. Pray for our children. The minister was right whenever he said our children are in our great distress. Difficult times for them. Not being able to have their little pals and their friends. And just it's a different world for them. Oh, that we would be able to give them hope. Point them to the Savior. That they may have joy, salvation. And come and know him earlier than life. I want to thank you so much for your interest, for your efforts, for your giving, for your love, for your kindness. And we'll leave it there for tonight. And we trust that you will continue to pray for this work, this online ministry. And pray too for the day that the Lord will give us ease. And then we'll get back to seeing our little ones face to face. In the schools. In our meetings. Bus fills them. And I don't care how bad they are. I'll be just delighted to see them. Oh, many a time we complain about the wee naughty ones. But I would be delighted to see the naughty ones, even again. Thank you for your attention, and we pray that the Lord will bless even these thoughts and this report to your heart. And I'm going to hand back over to your minister for your time of prayer. Thank you ever so much. Thank you.